This is an important time of the year as we run up to the 8th of August. So I've always felt that it is good that we at least spend one Sunday reflecting on our nation. And so this passage from Jeremiah 29, I love to reflect on this. I love to preach from this because I find it so relevant, at least personally to me. Now, this passage can speak to us at a few levels, right? Well, one that's applicable to all, and that is we are people of dual citizenship. I think on the 11th of June, I wrote in the Vicar's Write about living for the city of God. We are both earthly and heavenly citizen, right? So we live in this sense of tension. So it applies to all. But the second level, it also speaks to us because many of us, perhaps I should not say more, so many of us are migrants. In other words, we are not people of this soil. Some of you are not born here, all right? You migrated here. And so you have this sense of tension as well. What are you to be in Singapore? What is your role in this little city nation of Singapore? Why has God called you at all to this place? And so this passage also can speak to us, for those of us, including myself, who have come here to Singapore to study or to work and find ourselves in doing so, serving the Lord. In fact, my family, we come from with a tradition of migration. Someone asked me yesterday, am I a Cantonese? I'm actually a Hakka or a mix. My father is a Hakka, my mother is a Hokkien. But I know on my father's side, it's been many generations of migration. As you know, the Hakka means foreigner, right? They were chased by the Mongols from the north, stronger. The Mongols, right? So the Hakkas fled. And as they fled to other parts of China, they were never quite welcome. They always had to stay outside the city. And so they have this known as a tribe of migrants. So migrate all the way to Hong Kong. And my grandfather from Hong Kong, because of the wars, right, began to look for a better life in Malaysia. And so it's a family of migration. And of course, I'm not a crisis migrant. I'm educational migrant. I came to Singapore, right, to study many years ago now. Right, so to be uprooted from one's own soil and transported to foreign land, actually, when you read the Bible carefully, has been a story of God's people. Abraham, if you recall, was called to uproot himself. And so, if you now turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, you find the ESC version, right? This title, Jeremiah's Letter to the Exiles. An Old Testament scholar calls this the first pastoral epistle of the Bible, right? Because it's written as a letter to the exile. And indeed, this is a period of national crisis. It's up there on the PowerPoint. And at one point in Israel's history, around the 6th century BC, it's a crisis at both national, cultural, and personal level as a people. Where we are and who we are with define our sense of identity, our sense of home. When that is suddenly taken away from us, we are displaced. Thousands of years of culture, gestures, language, and customs are suddenly removed from us. We become strangers in a strange land. So you can imagine the shock which the exiled Jews were going through. And some were living in a state of denial. And imagine that this captivity, this exilic condition, is only for a brief moment. And so there were false prophets who filled these ideas and begin to proclaim that this will blow over. This is found in verses 8 to 9. And in the midst of this thinking, there was a measure of inaction. right? People were still living in their tents. There was some sort of paralysis in terms of living life and engaging in the task of daily, ordinary living, as every citizen should be doing. And some were saying, this is not God. So don't unpack the luggage. We are not here to stay. It will soon be over. In the midst of this traumatic Jewish experience, we have the prophet Jeremiah speaking. Not with hollow words of comfort and cliche. That's the amazing thing. And that's why the message in Jeremiah 29 is so unique and so unexpected. Yeah, you don't hear the usual words of comfort. This can only come from a prophet. Right? There are some leaders today, in a sense, we don't have prophets in the church, but we have the prophetic ministry. And sometimes those with a prophetic band in the ministry on the staff, and some of them are lay people, they say things that sometimes are very unusual. And it causes the pastors, the clergy, sometimes a measure of this discomfort. The message is unusual. And here, Jeremiah said three times in this passage, God said, this is God's doing. It's no accident of history. I have carried you. I myself, I've carried you into exile. It's very hard to imagine that. You know, this national disaster, this amazing, terrible humiliation. But Prophet Jeremiah said, God's hand is in it all the way. He himself have carried you into exile. This is not a temporary lapse of divine governance. On the contrary, Babylon is where God intends for them to be. They have to come to terms with Babylon, for Babylon is where they are going to stay. I'm sure those of you who have migrated to Singapore, some recently, some many years ago, you feel this sense of uncertainty. When I first came to Singapore in 1982, only with one bag in my hand. This is home truly, with one bag only. And with two other Malaysian friends, church mates, that's all. It's the beginning of a new journey in this strange city, right? And could never imagine how life will unfold itself. That one day I'll even marry a Singaporean. A Singaporean like Jennifer. Now, I should pause here to say thank you for praying for us. J-Lo is in the house today. Where's my wife? There she. She's somewhere. She's embarrassed to stand up. Right. Sorry to embarrass her. But when she was going for this major surgery, we were told no uncertain terms that to expect, to be prepared for the worst, right? It's a very critical, a very complicated surgery. And I didn't want to tell the church. You know, Cathedral is a very big, very public place. And it was Pastor Choi Vihan to say, you should, you know, because you're not your own. You're pastors. So you belong to the congregation. And the congregation needs to know. And so we did that, and we really felt the body of Christ praying for us. So thank you. And she's well enough, and she's recovering very well. Last Sunday, she was at 8 o'clock service. Today, she's here in this service, and we are grateful for the love shown by the body of Christ. But we have come a long way to where I've come a long way to where I am today, being an ex-Malaysian. And so here, Jeremiah gently but firmly spells out what they're called to do. You can do better than just surviving. You can prosper. And indeed, God may be saying that to some of us as we think about our role here in Singapore. So firstly, the first message that Jeremiah said, and I classify under 3 points, build your home in a city. So he shocked them with this message in verses 5 to 6. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives
for your sons. By the way, some of you men get very excited. Why is plural? Plural, you know. But this is Jeremiah speaking to a group of people, you know. So, collectively, for your sons and daughters, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. And if you think about it, it's quite amazing because Babylon was not merely alien, it was hostile in many ways. The difference between Babylon and Israel is not what you may find between Malaysia and Singapore. Quite the same. Somewhat strange to me in 1982, but a lot of similarities as well. But Israel and Babylon, is the contrast cannot be more different. It was a world, and you can see it as a visceral experience, is outside of God's rule. The city has none of God's righteousness in her. Surely, Babylon has no place in this plan of God. It's like hell to a Jew, you know. You're so foreign, so strange, so pagan. And Jeremiah said, no. God has sent you here. He has a plan for you. This is not a God-forsaken city. So build houses. Don't stay in makeshift tents. Enter into the rhythm of the Babylonian seasons. Start planting. Eat of it. Even if it means that you have to change your diet. I met some Malaysians who have settled for many years in Toronto. When I was there for my sabbatical, I stayed 4 months there. And met many Malaysians, some who I knew 30 over years ago. After so many years, they're still dreaming of nasi lemak. You know, I cooked nasi lemak for this Malaysian couple, and she wept and cried as she ate her nasi lemak. She missed it so much. But I was thinking, you are here for so long, please enjoy the fruit of this land, you know. It's a very important sign that you have learned to accept this new place when you have changed your diet. So don't dream on nasi lemak. I mean, occasionally it's good and you can cry over it, but enjoy, you know, the produce of the land. Because healthy, it's planted here, it's not transported from somewhere else. So anyway, there's something else altogether. And so here, marry these people. Marry them. They're not beneath you or above you. You can bear children with them. Be fruitful and multiply. The Genesis mandate. And these are words, of course, that speak of permanence. Houses can be built rather quickly. Gardens may take a bit more time. But they have children and grandchildren. That's speaking about the future. And here, they are called to stay and to live permanently, in a sense. Yeah. The church, of course, has always faced this same tension as well. In the world, yet not of the world. And this phrase, exactly the phrase that Jesus used in his prayer in John chapter 17. In fact, in the New Testament, this idea of God's will is in exile is a dominant one right through the Bible. I think I put a verse there. In Philippians 3:20, it says that we are, in 1 Peter 1, verse 1, it says that we are aliens in this world. And yet, in Philippians 3:20, it says we are citizens in heaven. And Romans 13 says we are citizens of the earth, right? So it's dual citizenship. And so this tension that we live in, and it's helpful, these words of not just Jeremiah 29, right through Scripture, we're always called to be in the world, but not of the world, of course. Sometimes we don't hold this tension very well. We either see this world as a demonic place to escape from, or at best, a desert. You are just passing through to pick up some lessons. You're on probation, or in the sense that there's some truth in that. Right? You're on probation. You're waiting to be judged one day, on judgment day, and now you're just passing through a desert. This world is not my home. I'm only just passing through. We are a temporary journey through a much better place in heavenly Jerusalem. Other Christians will swing to the other extreme. They live in this world, like the world so much that you can't even distinguish, right? They live in this world as if it's be all and end all. But Christians have a very interesting perspective. I always say the Christians make good citizens wherever they go, in anywhere in the world. And that should be the case. If you live your Christian faith, the first thing you do when you go to a place, new place, you join a church. I always tell people the fastest way to integrate in the society is join a church. Those are new to Singapore. I said, come on, come, mix around the cathedral, join the Connect group, eat with us. And soon enough, you'll begin to feel like Singaporean and maybe even marry one. You know, so there's a wonderful phrase from the second century from the epistle of Dionysius, which captured this very well. It's worth putting it up. The next slide. It says this: they reside in the respective countries, talking about Christians, often in diaspora, but only as aliens, not UFO, but as in foreigners. Huh? They take part in everything as citizens and put up with everything as foreigners, like a guest. You know, you can take anything. Every foreign land is their home, and every home a foreign land. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Every foreign land is a home, and every home a foreign land. The distension. They find themselves in the flesh, but do not live according to the flesh. This is an interesting observation of how Christians live their life. Faithful, responsible citizens, and yet living like a guest. Right? You know something? When you come to a place, you live like a guest, you're more polite. Singaporeans always complain of the government. My first few years as a Malaysian, I thought you had the best government in the world. You know, right? You know where I come from, right? I don't need to say more. Yet I meet Singaporeans all the time who are unhappy with the government. They always tell, wait till you stay where I'm staying. You know, right? But as a foreigner, you're appreciative. You see, the world, you see the city in a very different way. And Christians are like that. You see, they are grateful to God. Wherever God has placed them, they're responsible. They're not complaining, as I preached yesterday from Philippians. They're not complaining. They're blameless in this crooked and perverse generation. They're not complaining. They're not grumbling or disputing. They're innocent. They're children of God, shining their light in a dark city. So, brothers and sisters, Singapore will never be a Christian city. Can I just say this? Now, is it heretical? Singapore, in our 2,000 years of church history, they've never been a Christian city. You understand? Right? It's never been possible to truly convert 100%. Right? But sometimes Singaporeans think that Singapore is a Christian city. That they dream that the casinos, you know. So when we hear we heard the reports that some Indonesians are going to send some rockets to bomb Marina Bay Sands. Some Christians clap their hands. Oh, you know, maybe successful. God's judgment on the casino here, right? So we have this imagination that Singapore is a Christian city. In a sense, we need to be realistic. Singapore will never be a Christian city, at least not in the way we think. You still have many parts of her that will be unchristian. Of course, it's our duty to be light and salt of the city. But our goal is not, in a sense, to make Singapore a Christian city in a political or religious sense. But our goal as citizens or PRs is to ask, how can I bless this city? And it starts with the sense of home. The sense of feeling you are engaged with the city. You are not a pirate. I know a pirate comes and only extracts everything, plunders everything, right? Doesn't care at all about the place. And he moves off to another city to plunder. But you have a different perspective. Yes, you come here to enrich yourself, but you also come here to give and to enrich those who are around you. So make your home in the city. Secondly, seek the welfare of the city. A beautiful phrase. Jeremiah 29, verse 7, seek the welfare of the city we have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. So, Jews stay put. But not only that, Jeremiah said, seek its welfare. Again, this is mind-blowing. Don't just survive. Don't just keep your religious custom and survive your Christian faith or your Jewish faith. But think about the welfare of the city. Think about what is good for the city. And Jeremiah here did not speak of withdrawal, accommodation, or subversion. He didn't speak of subversion. He didn't say, go underground and change the city quietly. He said, there's a need to build up the city, to seek her welfare. Don't just live your life. Don't subvert. Instead, seek the welfare of the very city that you may be despising. And the Hebrew word used here is the word shalom, which means peace, health, wholeness, salvation. Now, this is something that our family went through recently, right? They realized that physical health is part of it all in our desire to serve God. And so we seek for the total well-being of the city that we live in. For her good will be your good, Jeremiah said. Her welfare will be your welfare. Her prosperity will be your prosperity. Her shalom will be your shalom. And we think about the church and the city, we're all bound up together. Like the good of cathedral will be the good of Singapore. The prosperity of Singapore will be the prosperity of the church. The shalom of Singapore will be the shalom of the church. Amen. What a message. And it carries a contemporary urgency for the church worldwide. The church, by the way, is moving all the time between cities. Right? A huge migration, many of them Christians. And of course, we don't mix up the idea of welfare with only the poor. Singapore was a shared word, welfare with the poor. Welfare of the city at all levels. Even rich families need welfare, need peace at home, need stability in their marriages, and so on and so forth. Many children in our country now, the latest drug craze is no longer hitting just the poor families. Many children from rich families are involved in the all more modern, of what you call, there's a word for it, right? Fashion drugs, what do you call it? It's fashionable now to ecstasy and so forth. Getting involved with all kinds of problems. It affects rich families as well. So we are called, brothers and sisters, to pursue the welfare of the city together. The church and the city is bound together. And I like the word seek. But the word seek is an active word. It's not a call to passiveness. We need to be deliberate and search for ways to help this city. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, we just read, to be salt and light of the city means to be near the place. Salt and light has impact by being near the place. So you seek out ways to be salt and light in the city. And I've inherited this since 2 years coming to Cathedral. By the way, I've been here for 2 years. Why are you still welcoming me? I was joking with Liang Kuan. This is the only parish in Singapore where they welcome their own vicar. I'm not a guest preacher. Anyway, it's a phenomenon because there are so many different services. I only appear once a month, so you welcome me. Thank you. Come, vicar. Join us. Right. But 2 years here, it's amazing work you have in the city comm. Character in the young. Right now, that is a ministry that's really seeking the welfare of the city. Right, you're seeking out for the hidden needy. You're chosen to start the work in non-Christian schools. We don't really have Christian schools here, but it's non-church-based schools. Right, you're chosen the heartland schools, and the students, some of them come from very needy families. And so now we are involved in how many schools now? 100 schools? Sorry. How many schools now? 16 schools, yeah. That's a huge number. Senior school, different kind of work, yeah. Senior school, student care. And so that's very important work. Right? Some of you may be saying, how can I connect with some of the poorer families in Singapore? This is a great, good work to be involved in. We need volunteers, of course, if some of you want to spend some time working there as a career. This is a very important work and ministry. Right. So we seek for the welfare of the city and we run an alpha course. And here in Cathedral, we want to run the best alpha course in Singapore. Not because we want to boast that the best alpha course, because the cathedral is right in the heart of the city. This only, well, there are a few, not many, a few churches in the city where someone knock off work and say, yeah, I'll drop by in the Alpha course. And that's why you spend so much time on the food thing, right? Make sure we cook a good nasi lemak this coming intro dinner, right? Because someone knock off work, he looks forward to a meal, right? Because I take it, before I take some MRT home, right? So you attend Alpha, and by 9:30, cleanly, our Alpha course never, the city Alpha courses never drag to 11 p.m. Some of that may be happening in the neighborhood once. Because people, they just, after work, they just come and they go back, right? So all the more, we have no excuse to run a small 10 people Alpha course, right? We want to run a big one. Our goal, actually, to hit 300. That is our target, you know, these next few years. And to see citizens, C-I-T-E-Y, right, coming, hey, this Alpha course in the cathedral, come. It doesn't matter which church they're from, or they're non-church people. It doesn't matter, it's for all. And it doesn't matter whether foreigners or locals, please come and find out something about the gospel. So these are ways, very simple ways we can bless the city. We hope soon to run a health check within this year. We're going to target to run a health check for the foreigners who come every Sunday and begin to step out our way. Not we're really offering now free English lessons. We're going to go beyond that to connect to the foreigners who are on our grounds every Sunday. Seeking the welfare of the city. They too are part of the city, right? Including those who serve in our homes, domestic maids, we too want to seek for the city, seek for the welfare. In Luke chapter 19, the next slide, 41-42, we have an interesting incident where Jesus, as he was approaching Jerusalem, the only time we recorded for us, he saw the city and he wept over it. He wept over the city and he said this, if you have known in this day, even you, the things which makes for peace, the things which makes for your wealth, if you have only known, as you know, the city rejected the Lord Jesus. It's strange when you think about it. The city stoned him. They found him. They didn't welcome him. Yeah. And sometimes the city does not know what will make for our own welfare. The city has a tendency to self-destruct. We know that. And even here in Singapore, all the education, unfortunately, at the same time, all the wealth, we are self-destructing at so many levels. So, brothers and sisters, we as a church, we need to weep like Jesus for the city. Right? I mean to say, if you had known this day, even you, the things which makes for peace. And we have the keys to the welfare of the city. There's something to offer. A bit passion. With tears in our eyes, with heart of passion, we need to pray and continue to work for the shalom of the city. Well, much more can be said, but let me come to land in my sermon. We need to pray for the city. This is exactly what Jeremiah said in verse 7. And pray to the Lord on his behalf, for in his welfare you have welfare. So pray to the Lord on its behalf. Right? So Jeremiah is saying, be a priest to the city. The word priest means someone who stands between God and man. Right? Jesus was a high priest, right? And now the church is supposed to be a priest. True? You know, the priesthood of all believers, right? And so we stand between God and man. And so our role, therefore, is to pray for the city. That is at the heart of what we're called to be and do, to pray for the city. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. First of all, then I urge that prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is saying the same thing as Jeremiah, New Testament version. For in his welfare will be your welfare. So you pray for peace so that the church also may have peace. And this is the first work of the church. I guess you recall as a young deacon, and I'm still young. Now I'm just a young vicar. Deacon many years ago, 20 years ago. Right. I spent 2 years, by the way, serving in the cathedral. As a deacon, and later I was a priest, right? My first 2 years, in those days, compulsory national service. We have disbanded with the system now. But part of the training, that's why I can sing the liturgy so well, because the training was done. And my trainer, by the way, was Reverend Christopher Tan. Right? So, but I still remember I was given a nice, august, beautiful office, which Bishop is now using, at the North Transept. Right? It looks like a lawyer's office. It was wooden panel, beautiful. And there's a small window. I still remember this. After lunch, I was feeling, you know, how is it feel behavior after lunch? I'm sitting down. I'm a deacon in cathedral. I'm starting my ministry as a priest. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, did I sign up for the right thing? Because as I look through the window, I can see Raffles City. And GIC's office was then there. The Government Investment Corporation was there. And I have a friend, not just a friend, a roommate, who's actually working there as an investor. In fact, she has done very well since then. Yeah, he make money, I bring people to Christ. Anyway, different gifting. So, to my left, the commercial activities of the nation. And to my right, Parliament, the politics. Right in the middle, the cathedral. Passively praying. And I thought to myself, what difference am I making? Compared to my friend, you know, and those who are serving. And I'm sitting there. And it's good to ask these questions because I'm signing up for the rest of my life for this work and career. And at that time, of course, the Lord reminded me that my word will last forever. Right? It's an eternal value. And not only that, the church is called to prayer. And prayer is important. All parts of the country count money and start making decisions in the parliament, arguing about Oxley Road and so on and so forth. The church prays. That's the calling of the church. Even this morning, the city come to a standstill, almost. Yeah, all the commercial activities. But the church is busy praying. 1,000 over churches, right? Gathering different kind of sizes, different kind of auditoriums, praying for the country. This is our primary call, to pray for the city. The next slide. I'll show you the slide of the 40-day fast. You have heard Liang Kwan say it. Yep. So, this is what the church is called to do. Right? This is what the church needs to do, to pray for the city. And the whole of last week, we were praying. Every day, we were praying for the Oxley. As debates all going on in Parliament. So, 12:30 to 1:30. This is not happening every day. Of course, it's a special season, 1st of July to the 9th of August. 12:30 to 1:30, gathering to pray. Sharp. At 1:30, you're off. Now, some of you can join. I know some of you can't. But those of you who work in the city, you're taking lunch. Take a shorter lunch and join us. You can save only half an hour, then stay for half an hour, right? You have to be there to experience it. I cannot describe to you how important this is. But from Monday to Friday, it's been my privilege, because Sony, I just walked down from the office to join, to pray for the city. And we really pray for the city. I'm not praying for, oh, my cat is sick today, you know. Can you please pray? But actually pray for the city. Pray for all that's going on. Of course, we also pray for churches. So what will cathedral be? Will it be a place where we really see ourselves that God has placed us here in this city to pray for the city, right? As we look down from either the many high-rise buildings around us, you can see the cathedral. And you pray this thing. You ask the Lord, turn this place into a house of prayer for all nations. It not just be a rich church or a lot of interesting activities, a wonderful cafe, but it be a place of prayer, a place that's emotionally in our hearts concerned for the welfare of the city. And we change the city, not through boardroom discussions, we change the city on our knees in prayer. And the more in the cathedral, the more of us join in prayer, I think the more we're able to fulfill our role as a church in the city. And of course, I should end by saying in the same passage, verses 10 to 11, the promise of return. And Jeremiah did say, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future, because I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem. And so, we serve the Lord in this city with an eye on the next one. Amen. We look forward to homecoming. We look forward to the return. We look forward to the promise to be gathered in God's house again. In fact, that hope shaped the way we live our lives here. On this place, whatever city God has placed you here on earth, maybe London, it may be Sydney, maybe Singapore, maybe some rural areas in other parts of the world, maybe live our faith, maybe be responsible citizens, maybe seek the welfare of the city that God has called us into. And of course, here in the cathedral is when we start caring for the church. Help the church be the church, that therefore the church can be a blessing to the city. And I want to strongly encourage you to be involved. You are here by attendance, and that's wonderful, that's great. You are worshiping with us, but may you be encouraged to take one step further. So, Father, we thank you for the way you have blessed the church in Singapore. Amazing, this last 20 or 30 years, the influence you have given to the church at so many levels, in so many ways. The amazing integration of church and society. And we pray, Father, that this not leads to compromise or accommodation, but lead to a very robust witness. But it first comes from a heart that's not judgmental, that does not say that we are better than others, but that starts from a heart that's willing to say, this is our home, this is the place I'm willing to serve, humbly serve, to be a servant, a foreigner in every home, every foreign land, a home. Lord, help us, this generation, continue to carry on the witness till one day we are gathered around the throne of Jesus Christ. And even as we prepare to break bread, Lord, we ask that you may take us further into communion with you this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.